But at the same time, they have this hardcore dedication to get the job done, to just run and run and run and run some more. And you wouldn't think that this small, scrawny kind of animal would be able to do these amazing things, but they just do it over and over and over again and make it look easy.
Hi. My name is Timo Metsäjoki, and you are listening to the Footsteps of an Entrepreneur. In this podcast, I meet interesting entrepreneurs as they share their stories. I'm going to find out how they became entrepreneurs in the first place and what they would like to say to encourage young people in transition from school to work. Today's guest has a wide perspective when it comes to huskies and ecological tourism. Responsibility for nature and sustainability is a matter of heart to this company. So, welcome to the studio, Valentin Beats from Bear Hill Husky.
So, thank you for having me.
I suppose you didn't come here with any dogs.
No, it's too warm for that at the moment. So, I just drove here.
Hey, what is Bear Hill Husky and when it was founded?
Bear Hill Husky is a sled dog kennel that I founded in 2003 together with my wife, Veronica. And we started it way back in a place called Lieksa, which is southeast Finland. If you thought Lapland was far away, go to Lieksa. You will find out how far it really is. So we started together there, living on a little farm in the middle of nowhere with a small bunch of dogs. And we decided to offer our guests a real experience, a very small, intimate experience. We usually took only about four customers, went out for a five-day tour, traveled around. The people lived with us in our house, experienced this kind of thing. This was really nice. It was a really nice way of earning some money. It wasn't a nice way of earning a living because we were not getting enough money to earn a real living out of it. And eventually, when my daughter was born and living in the middle of nowhere and facilities and schools and this kind of thing meant that we decided that, we got an opportunity to come to Rovaniemi to work here. And at first it was just seasonal work. We would be here for the month of December. Then it got slightly longer and longer till eventually we were here the whole season. And then we moved up here with the family because it suited us better. For our family situation and the type of business, we changed it from doing the long, very intimate and original tours to something which is a bit more suitable in Rovaniemi, which is, of course, a bit more mass tourism with shorter tours, bigger group numbers, mainly day trips, no overnight tours anymore and this kind of thing.
I'm eager to ask, how did you become an entrepreneur and how did you end up in Finland in the first place? Like, what brought you here as you haven't born here?
I came to do a Eräopas kurssi in Kuru Metropolitans. I actually never finished. I finished high school, but I started on some university stuff and whatever and never finished that because I got distracted by this Eräopas kurssi. And came up to Finland, enjoyed it, decided to specialize in dogs, met my wife, and kind of started working for some other kennels and eventually pretty soon figured out that I want to do my own thing. I wanted to do it my own way. I'm not a very good employee because I will tell my boss pretty soon how to do his job. Even if he does actually know what he's doing, I'll still try and tell him what to do. This is not really appreciated very often. Eventually, we decided that together with my wife, I had this idea, say, hey, let's do this crazy thing. Go live in the middle in the forest and, you know, live, do something original and live ourselves, you know, live an interesting life. And I didn't want to do a 9-to-5 job. Little did I know that I would end up doing a 5-to-9 job for a while, because that's what being an yrittäjä is, 5-to-9. So we ended up in Lieksa doing it that way. It was just a way to live our own life and to stand on our own two feet and not work for the man. That was also, I didn't want to do 9-to-5 and I didn't want to work for the man. I don't like working for a boss. So this was an interesting way of doing it. In the meantime, we got good at it, enjoyed doing it. So if you find something you're good at and you enjoy doing, best to stick with it.
Let's open up the important topic, sustainability and responsibility. What do these words mean to you and the Bear Hill Husky?
Sustainability and responsibility. Now, sustainability means that we are trying to run a business which is in it for the long term on many levels. It's not just we want to be financially sustainable, but we want to create something which is permanent, which stays. And to be able to do that, you need to think on many levels. It has to be, of course, environmentally sustainable. We can't just keep on doing what we're doing without at least thinking about that. When we started out with our business, we worked for quite many different companies, either as a subcontractor or as an employee, you know, as a contracted employee or this kind of thing. And we did so many jobs which we were not actually really comfortable doing. Very often we felt exploited by some of the companies we were working for. We decided that if we would ever do our own business, we would not do that. So we wanted to be better than how we had been treated before. So for us, that's part of the responsibility. We want to be a place that builds up long-term relationships with our employees, with our subcontractors, with the other businesses in the area. Of course, you know, we are always going to have some kind of impact on our environment, but we want to make sure that it is as little as possible. And maybe in the future, we can even compensate for some of the damage we do. But that means we first need to be aware of the damage that we do before we can compensate. So for us, it's a way of running our business. It's woven into the DNA of us. That it's a funny way to explain it, because we're also a dog kennel. We are also a place where our dogs live, work, and in some cases die. So this is also a form of, we have a community, a little ecosystem of dogs that has to be sustainable as well. So we are also responsible for our dogs' lives and our dogs' welfare. So that means to do that, we need to have money to feed them, to pay for them. We need to have good employees who are in it for the long term, who build up relationships with these dogs, who want to stay and work with them and develop these dogs as well. We need to have a steady supply of guests coming to us, because otherwise we can't afford what we want to give our dogs. So for us, sustainability is a way of thinking about it. It's not something temporary that we just do, but we are creating something which is in the long term. And Burial Husky is an OU, which is a financial, you know, legal construction. But that OU is also the financial and legal home of our dogs. That's where they live. That is, so the survival of this OU and its sustainability directly is related to how well our dogs will live. So it all goes together. The welfare of the dogs is part of the responsibility, is part of the sustainability, if you wish. And we sometimes run into challenges with, you know, specifically sometimes Finnish cultural challenges that we have. One of the things is that for a while we own some forest where we run our dog teams and where we have our kennel. So we have a Metsäpalsta. And we would actually like to use the forest on that to compensate the carbon emissions that we create as a business. But if we go to Metsäkeskus and we ask them, how can we do this? Literally, they don't really know how to answer it, because the Finnish forest consulting services are all geared towards cutting and producing. They're not, you know, yet there. How do we not cut the trees? Anything you come there, you say, you know, they're going to come back to you, you have to cut it. So this is where our idea of sustainability clashes a little bit with what is current in Finland at the moment. And I believe at the moment this whole forestry certification and things is a bit of a hot topic as well. So we're trying to go forward on this for us. So it's really part of how we run the business. It's all interconnected.
What it is like to work with huskies? What kind of dogs they are? And does the howling still impress you?
Howling huskies is still impressive to me, although it can also be very agitava if it's for the wrong reason. It's an indication of what the dogs are feeling like. You know, they can be howling out of boredom. They can be howling out of team spirit. They can be howling because the females are on heat and the boys just want to have fun. So there's many different ways of howling. A good kennel is a quiet, calm kennel that howls occasionally for team spirit. If it goes any other way, then it can be a bit, you know, irritating. But it's a good way to find out how your dogs are feeling. And of course, if you're a neighbor, howling huskies can be a bit of an irritation. But then again, I don't actually live at the kennel at the moment. I live in Venivaara. There's a lot of barking dogs in Venivaara. In some cases, even more than, you know, there's more barking dogs than in my kennel. Huskies don't, you know, the noise they make is something that can be quite impressive, but it's not out of the ordinary in Finland, I believe, barking and howling huskies.
But how are huskies as to work with?
To work with? They are, My Huskies, let's put it this way. My Huskies are amazing dogs to work with. They are tough, hardcore, loyal dogs that are so friendly and so funny and playful and cute in many ways. They're just really characterful animals. But at the same time, they have this hardcore dedication to get the job done, to just run and run and run and run some more. And you wouldn't think that this small, scrawny kind of animal would be able to do these amazing things, but they just do it over and over and over again and make it look easy. And that is what actually I really enjoy about working with them, is that they're really awesome. But they're not the wild animals many people make them out to be.
Student's question.
Huskies' fur is very thick and warm and could be recycled in many ways. When it's shedding season, do you let it all fall off on its own or do you brush it out? What do you do with the fur if brushed?
That's actually a very interesting question and I have a very interesting answer. No, we don't let it all come out. It would be a very messy and place in the kennel and very uncomfortable for the dog. So we try and brush out as much as we can. We save it. Then we have it sent off to a place where they turn it into wool. They mix it into with 50-50 with sheep wool and clean it and wash it and all those kind of things. Then it comes back to us and we actually have a big bag of it lying around, which we will sell on our web shop when our new website is up. So we're actually going to turn that into a little side project. I don't think it's going to be a big economic hit, but it's an interesting way of using our wool. I do know of an initiative by another kennel in Lapland that they are trying to collect the wool from a lot of the kennels, and they're going to send that off to some manufacturer who will then include it in some ecological fabric that they're making. So there is actually, they asked me to participate in this project as well, but I said, no, we're doing this husky wool thing that we have already.
How would you feel wearing a woolen jacket made out of your husky's fur?
I think it would be rather itchy and smelly. I would prefer gloves and socks. Let's put it this way. Not a jacket, but gloves and socks I would happily wear.
What makes you a good entrepreneur? And what is the best about being an entrepreneur? And what is the worst?
The worst part is if you're doing it well and you're really into it, you will never have any free time because you're always thinking about your business. It's like having a kid or a dog or a baby. It is, you know, it is always there. Your business becomes your life. And this can be very irritating to your friends and family because all you want to talk about is your business. And then after a while, you'll figure out that they don't understand you and you will start to make friends with other entrepreneurs because they do. But this is the downside is that it's all consuming in many ways. It's going to take a lot of time and effort for you to do it. And if you want to succeed, that is, I wouldn't say that you have to be like that to succeed. But I think that for a lot of people who have succeeded with this, that's how they did it. It just became something that they were obsessed with. That's the downside. What I like about it is I'm doing what I want. I'm not doing what someone else is telling me to do. I am making my own life, my own money. I am walking through, you know, going through this path of life on my own path, not one that someone else has laid out for me. I'm not working for the man. So this is the good part. You're your own boss, literally. If you don't want to work, you don't have to, but it might come back and bite you in the ass. But the biggest thing is you can do what you want to do yourself. You're not working to fulfill someone else's dream. You're working to fulfill your own.
What would you like to say to encourage young people who are finishing their studies or in transition from school to work?
Get up early, go to work, work hard, and always give your best. You know, what it doesn't matter if you want to continue studying or if you want to continue working. Basically, be proud of the work that you deliver. Stand behind your work. And remember that every job you do, everything you do, it is something that you have created. It is what you are doing. And even if it is for a boss or something, stand behind your work, be proud of it, do it well. And if you don't want to become an entrepreneur, at least the employers will value that, that you have given everything that you had into that job and that quality. And if you're going to be an entrepreneur, that is what you're going to need to succeed because no one is going to want to work or buy something from someone who did it with 50% effort or interest. You know, the difference is passion. You know, the effort you put into it and the pride you put into it. And that is something that I would say that whatever you do, go out and do it well and do it with passion.
Thank you so much, Valentin Beats, for visiting us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.